Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. While many Americans are focused on election results right now, the coronavirus continues to infect people at an alarming rate. Wisconsin has seen one of the largest increases of cases in the country, breaking infection and death records on a near daily basis. Yesterday, nearly 6,000 new cases were reported in Wisconsin. The average daily death toll in the last week has been 37 people. A couple months ago, that number was just 6 people. With so many positive cases, contact tracers are having a difficult time keeping up. But patients aren't just working with contact tracers. They're also assigned a caseworker. A caseworker is different from a contact tracer in that they're available to answer questions and concerns for patients who've been diagnosed with a disease. Anything from how to get food to their homes to when to seek medical attention. Tracy Spurko is a school nurse and recently was a caseworker for people infected with COVID-19 in the city of Milwaukee. She says the work was emotionally consuming and difficult. Spurko spoke with WUWM's Mayan Silver about her experience.
The other nurses that I know that are doing it had this experience too, where your whole life becomes about COVID. And when your phone rings, because even though you're at home, people are supposed to call you between certain hours, but they call you when they need help, when they're confused, when they're not sure, when they want a confirmation. Because I can tell you there were two kinds of calls that came after hours, and one of those was, yes, you should go to the ER. You need to go to the doctor. You're very sick. Yes, that's a good decision. The other was just to listen and say, I'm sorry that's happening. I'm sorry. There's not anything I can do.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what a caseworker does? It's not a contact tracer. It's something different. Can you just describe?
The caseworker, when someone takes a COVID test and it is positive, it is sent to the health department in the city or county, whatever government entity has the health department for their address, not where they work. And then it's assigned to a caseworker who will then call them and follow up and make sure they understand how long they're supposed to quarantine, what they should do, how to be safe about being at home with other people that might not be sick or who might be vulnerable. What signs to go to the doctor. When we were able to send them some food. If they needed it, because people obviously had major interruptions in their income. I mean, I've had complete families of adults that have had to quarantine, and it cut off all of the income for the family. So, and I've had entire families sick. I've had both parents in the hospital with the 18-year-old taking care of all the other children. I mean, I've had a woman call me one day because she got the food that I had sent to her, and she said that was the only good thing she had happened that week because her father had died and her uncle was intubated, and she was fearful that her mother would be intubated because they had a birthday dinner together.
Wow, that's really intense. So you're doing this kind of work. When did you start doing it?
In May, right away in May. When they put the call out in Milwaukee, they, of course, reached out to the nurses that were in the Milwaukee Public Schools. And because it's all city here and it's a city health department, and we were trained. They have a really good training program. And, you know, contract tracers are the people who call the people who've been exposed, or the people, it's the people that we can't get a hold of, but we have to keep calling the people who are positive for COVID, and we set the case up.
So the contact tracers call the people that
may have been exposed, and you keep calling the people who have been diagnosed and get in touch with them about how they need to proceed.
You know, in one of the cases, which is a really good example, I talked to a person who had a very large gathering of relatives and from all over the country and in another state, and then returned here to Milwaukee and was positive. And they potentially had exposed double digits of people, and which meant that I was gathering the information from that person, helping them figure out what they were going to do, but then having them realize that all of these people have been exposed, including where they were physically, because it was a small town and they were a large group for the town. So all of those people would get sent to different health departments, and then contract tracers would call and say, you know, Mary Beth, you just went to this and you've been exposed. Here's what you should do. You know, and they would help them to understand what, because there's a difference between being positive for COVID and being exposed. And people don't understand that with the exposure, and because COVID is so wily.
Silently spreading.
Oh, well, but it's wily. It doesn't, you know, you can get COVID and I can get COVID and we're going to get completely different, you know, really different. We could present really differently. And that's why it was confusing to people. And different ages seem to get it a little differently. There's some commonalities. But helping people to understand that, and with all this misinformation, and frankly, the president saying the things he's saying, I would have people say, well, I heard. And I would have to say, no, that's science. The CDC, the Wisconsin Department of Health, here's what they're saying. So it's a very different process to help people to realize that people want it. A lot of times they think they're going to be smart, and when they're told they're going to quarantine, they say, all right, I'm going to go get a COVID test. And if it says I'm negative, I don't have to quarantine. But they do, because a COVID test is only good for the day you got the test. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't incubating in you, because it's 2 to 14 to as much as 15 days I've actually seen for it to happen. So you can be exposed 2 weeks earlier and then get sick on your 14th day.
With what you're seeing in Milwaukee, can you describe how different it is now than it was 2 months ago, for instance?
Well, I think, you know, initially we had concentrated parts of the city that were exposed. And then it moved around the city, but it moved to almost like neighborhoods. And that's when we were still in more of a lockdown phase. And then when we started opening everything up, it just sort of exploded all over the city. But then the positive being the governor having us wear masks and the city of Milwaukee having us wear masks meant that Milwaukee went from being number one. It's moved around. The last time I looked at our ranking out of 72 counties, we were 10th, but I've seen us as low as 30. And to me, since we are the largest city, that shows me that wearing masks makes a difference. If we were able to change our amount of people getting sick by just wearing masks, even though more people were getting exposed, it makes a difference. And when you look at the counties right now that are refusing, that the people are adamant, where you have the sheriffs and you have leaders of the area saying that they don't believe it. There's these communities in Wisconsin right now that are so infected, and the hospitals, I mean, what I'm hearing on the nursing side is that the hospitals are full. that in our borders, and especially our northern Wisconsin, down to Appleton, the Fox Valley's full. Their hospitals are full.
What do you want people to know in your capacity as a healthcare provider and as someone who worked as a caseworker? What should people know about this current wave of the pandemic?
It requires us to sacrifice, meaning that we can't gather together. We can't get together. We have to, there's a saying, the three W's. Wear your mask, wash your hands, and watch your distance. It's three very basic things, and I think that's part of the reason why it's difficult. I think people would feel better if we told them they could take a magic pill every day, but we don't. We have to tell them that you have to stay away from people, and you have to continue to wear this mask that makes some people uncomfortable. But I know I've seen little kids to old people with things like COPD and respiratory failure. I've seen them be able to wear masks. Obviously, I've worked in a hospital. I've worn masks in all kinds of situations. I just never had to wear a mask when I drove my, when I went to the grocery store. But I think that's the basic. There's a sacrifice if we want to get our life back. A woman said to me on the phone as she was crying, because I had told her that she had COVID, and she knew that her mom was already sick, and she started to cry. And she said, we just wanted to get together. And many, many people have asked me, with Thanksgiving coming up, for Americans, we're thinking about this. What do we do for Thanksgiving? And my response is, we can't. Otherwise, look around that dinner table and think about which family member you are willing to sacrifice. And they say that's harsh, but that's the reality. For people that get together, whether it's a wedding, whether it's a birthday party, whether it's Thanksgiving, I would never want to look back at that gathering and think, oh my gosh, that's the time we killed so-and-so, or this many people got sick. That's why it takes sacrifice. And unfortunately, sadly, I'm seeing where many of us are not willing to sacrifice. But in the end, this virus, it's not going to pick and choose. It's going to take its opportunity. And that's going to be those people who don't believe the science.
Tracy Spurko, tough words, but important information for people. So thanks for speaking about it.
Yeah, it's getting tiring. That's why I couldn't do the casework anymore, too. I just felt like COVID was everywhere. And I was getting so angry at people because they wouldn't do what they need to do.
Tracy Spurko worked as a COVID-19 caseworker for patients in Milwaukee County. She spoke with WUWM's Mayan Silver.